So good morning, everyone, and it's lovely to be together to worship this morning. I hope you can see a copy of the order of service for the first Sunday of Epiphany. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. Your light springs up for the righteous, and all the peoples have seen your glory. Blessed are you, sovereign God, King of the nations. To you be praise and glory forever. From the rising of the sun to its setting, your name is proclaimed in all the world. As the sun of righteousness dawns in our hearts, anoint our lips with the seal of your spirit, that we may witness to your gospel and sing your praise in all the earth. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God forever.
And we join together to say the Jubilate, a song of joy.
O be joyful in the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his presence with a song. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that has made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is gracious, his steadfast love is everlasting, and his faithfulness endures from generation to generation. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind, as we rejoice in the gift of this new day. So may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen.
Well, our first reading this morning comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 43, beginning at verse 1. But now, this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Sheba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And our canticle this morning is taken from Ezekiel chapter 36, and we begin by saying the refrain together. The Spirit of God fills the whole world. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness. A new heart I will give you, and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. The Spirit of God fills the whole world.
And our second reading comes from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, beginning at verse 15. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We seem to have made quite a leap in our readings this week. We have suddenly jumped 30 years. Only a couple of weeks ago, we were looking at Jesus, a newborn baby, thinking about shepherds visiting the stable, then another jump of 2 years to the wise men, and Mary pondering, and now here we are 30 years later. Just like that. In fact, we are picking up some of the passages we read about John in Advent. We pick up the story with John the Baptist in the wilderness by the River Jordan. There are crowds of people standing on the riverbank, and John is shouting his message of good news: repent and be baptized. And this blunt, stark message does not seem to offend the crowd, but rather galvanizes them into action. They are coming to John to do exactly what he is commanding them to do. They want to put things right with God. They want to show in a public way that they have said sorry to God. They don't mind showing their weakness and their vulnerability. They are prepared to be humble. They don't mind doing these things in public. I am a great believer in infant baptism, and it is an absolute privilege and joy to be able to baptize children here in the Exe Valley. And we have had a lot of wonderful baptisms recently. But there is something extremely special when an adult comes for baptism or confirmation and is prepared to make that public declaration of faith in front of us all. Often, people are invited to say what has brought them to this moment, and it is a wonderful thing to hear and to witness someone's story of how they came to believe in Jesus. One significant moment in my time here was baptizing someone who was terminally ill. She did not have long to live, but she desperately wanted to show her love and commitment to God. I baptized her in her sitting room with a bowl from the kitchen and some ordinary tap water. It was very ordinary, and yet it was a sacred and holy moment. Back to the gospel. John the Baptist is calling out his repetitive refrain that everyone should repent and be baptized. And there, walking up to the riverbank to join the crowd, is the baby who was once swaddled in a manger. Now he's all grown up. He was the promised baby, and now, 30 years later, that promise is about to be fulfilled. Verse 15 tells us that the people, the crowd, were in a state of expectation. They were waiting for the Messiah, and they thought that John could be it. I love the translation of the Passion Bible of this verse. During those days, everyone was gripped with messianic expectations, believing the Messiah could come at any moment. What it is to have messianic expectations, to believe that the Messiah is just about to arrive. The excitement, the anticipation, the fear, the sense of awe and wonder. Well, we've just celebrated the Messiah coming to earth as a baby. But do we have messianic expectations that he will come again, and this time in glory? Do we have messianic expectations that the Holy Spirit is here with us, ready to act? What do we expect? Anything or nothing? Do we expect to meet with the empowering, emboldening Spirit of God, who will turn everything topsy-turvy for the kingdom of God? Or do we just expect same old, same old? I suspect that even the crowd standing along the banks of the Jordan with all their messianic expectations intact would never in their wildest dreams have expected Jesus, the Messiah, to do what he did. Because what he did was completely and utterly revolutionary. The Messiah, the Holy One of God, Jesus, the person conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, who caused heaven to open and angels to sing, who was worshipped by shepherds and wise men, came and stood in the same muddy water as everyone else. Jesus' first public act was one of solidarity with us, with our sinfulness. He is God with us, Emmanuel. Of course, it must have been slightly awkward for John. He had just been shouting at the crowd, calling them a brood of vipers. And then along comes Jesus and stands with them. By this time, John has already heard God's whisper that Jesus is the one. John has already told the crowd that he is definitely not the one. John knows he is not even worthy to untie his sandals. John warns the crowd, "I can only baptize you in this river, but he will baptize you into the spirit of holiness and into his raging fire." All of which begs the question, why would the Son of God come to a rabble-rousing maverick like John the Baptist? Why would a supposedly sinless Messiah need a baptism of repentance? Why would Jesus line up with the crowd, the desperate, the broken, and the sinful? And why would God choose this moment in the Messiah's earthly life, after almost 30 years of silence, to break heaven open and call Jesus my beloved? It's a big question. In fact, it's a question which the early church found rather embarrassing, as it didn't quite stack up with the triumphalist idea of the Messiah. However, this one act tells us so much about Jesus, God's Son, our Saviour. Jesus' first public act is both radical and humbling. Jesus empties himself of all the glories of heaven and humbly joins us, aligns himself with us on earth. In Matthew's version of this story, when John protests at Jesus' request to be baptized by him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replies with these words, "Let it be so." Let it be so. Words that echo Mary's radical acceptance that she is to be the mother of God's Son. Let it be so according to your word. It is a critical moment at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Jesus shows from the start that his power lies in surrender and submission and sharing life in all its difficulties with us. As Jesus steps with John into the waters of the Jordan, allowing the water to cover him and overwhelm him, Jesus steps into human history. It is the same water that Abraham and Jacob crossed, the same water the Israelites crossed to enter the promised land, the same water that was at the end of Elijah's ministry and the start of Elisha's. When Jesus stepped into the muddy, dirty waters of the River Jordan, he was stepping into the broken, messy, painful sinfulness of this world. He was joining with us in our humanity. This act is not about Jesus' sinfulness. It's all about his standing alongside each one of us in ours. As Jesus steps into the water, there is an epiphany. Heaven is revealed. God shows us for one brief, extraordinary moment a glimpse of something astonishing and wonderful. This is what baptism means. It's what our baptism means. As I read this week, God's extraordinary grace blesses the water we stand in. As we ponder this story of Jesus' baptism, we are reminded that we are all connected. We are all united. We are one, and we are called to be like Jesus, to stand in the dirty water with those around us, whether we like them or not. To do this is holiness. There is one baptism and one hope for us all, Jesus. Then we too will hear God speaking over us, telling us that we are and will always be beloved, not because we have done anything to deserve it, but because God cannot do anything but love us. And his desire is to birth that same kind of love in us. Even in the deepest, darkest water, we are beloved. Amen.
Shall we turn now to prayer? Let us pray that Christ may be seen in the life of the Church. Lord of the Church, you have called us into the family of those who are the children of God. May our love for our brothers and sisters in Christ be strengthened by your grace. Jesus, Lord of the Church, in your mercy, hear us. You have called us to be a temple where the Holy Spirit can dwell. Give us clean hands and pure hearts so that our lives will reflect your holiness. Jesus, Lord of the Church, in your mercy, hear us. You have called us to be a light to the world, so that those in darkness come to you. May our lives shine as a witness to the saving grace you have given for all. Jesus, Lord of the Church, in your mercy hear us. You have called us to be members of your body, so that when one suffers, all suffer together. We ask for your comfort and healing power to bring hope to those in distress, especially at this time, to Jack, Jen, Brian, Jennifer, Jean, Jane, Alan, Aileen, Rosemary, Ali, Morris, Gordon, Sally, Richard, Marion, Camilla, Brenda, Robert, Tim, Addie, Mary, and others known to us. Jesus, Lord of the Church, in your mercy hear us. You have called us to be the bride where you, Lord, are the bridegroom. We give thanks for all who have gone before us to take their place at the heavenly banquet, remembering especially Kim Goldsworthy, Eric Heath Coleman, Beryl Short, Joan Gibson, Valerie Lord. Jesus, Lord of the Church, in your mercy hear us. Jesus, Lord of the Church, you have called us into fellowship with all your saints. We unite our prayers with theirs and ask for grace to serve you with joy where you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for all eternity. Amen. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And the collect for this feast of the baptism of Christ. Eternal Father, who at the baptism of Jesus revealed him to be your Son, anointing him with the Holy Spirit, grant to us, who are born again by water and the Spirit, that we may be faithful to our calling as your adopted children. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
May God, the Father, who led the wise men by the shining of a star to find the Christ, the light from light, lead us also on our pilgrimage to find the Lord. May God, the Son, who turned water into wine at the wedding feast at Cana, transform our lives and make glad our hearts. May God, the Holy Spirit, who came upon the beloved Son at his baptism in the River Jordan, pour out his gifts on us who have come to the waters of new birth. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us and those we love and pray for today and always. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much once again for your company this morning and for being fellow worshippers and pilgrims on the way. Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Claire. And we're glad that normal service will be resumed next week. hopefully, whatever that is. Coffee Morning is back on Zoom on Wednesday morning, and we resume the Bible study at 7 o'clock. The details, contact details and connection details are at the end of the order of service. So thank you very much for your patience with us, and it's been lovely to have your company this morning. Hope you have a great day. I'm just about to go off to Washfield. Robert's just about to put his feet up.
It's been a tough morning, I tell you.
Anyway, God bless and have a good day. Bye-bye.